Yes, Lord, we pray as a body. And anyone, just by faith, you just want to get healed tonight. You'd like to be healed. Let's meditate on it for a minute. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is not a religious form. This is a genuine faith in you, your person. And it could be, it doesn't matter. The point is that we just want to be led in faith and say that there is no disease in Egypt formed against us. There is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. There, we just want to believe that you quicken our mortal bodies and heal us tonight, Lord. Anyone at all. So just by faith stand. If you want to be healed, just by faith stand up and just believe God. Like Jesus told the man, go to the pool and wash. And he went by faith, remember? So we're just standing by faith, anyone at all. Father, pour your healing power, your blessing on your people. We are your people, called out and chosen, and have needs. We came by faith. We have assembled by godly discipline and godly habit and sense of allegiance to who will dwell in the holy hill. Yes, that's what you said in Psalm 15. And here we are. Yes, Lord, we come in your name. And please heal your people. And then any other thing that is bugging you or plaguing you, something bugging you, you just can't shake it. Just stand up and say, it's over. Hallelujah. God, it's over. Thank you, Lord. I'm free. The shackles fall. The trap has been set, but the devil is in the trap now. We are free. The bird flies free. Yes. Yes, we are delivered. Thank you. The covenant with hell has been disallowed, disannulled. Yes, Lord, we are free. Thank you in Jesus' name. We pray and just say a few good words in your own mouth. Just have them roll around in your mouth. Praise to God. Jesus is greater than my sin, greater than death. God heals cancer, casts out the devil. Just say it in your own mouth, your own way. Just say, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then give your neighbor a high five and say, amen. Hallelujah. Do you agree with me? You agree with me? Yes, it's over. It's done. Hallelujah. Say this with me. It's over and done. It's over and done. It's done. Gone. Hallelujah. Over and done. Hallelujah. We're hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You may be seated. Susan Joseph, here's a cafe card for you. Yeah. Russell in the back here. Russell, here's a cafe card for you. Yeah. Come and get it. Lisette Thornton, here's a cafe card. James Kirby, you want one? James Kirby, he survived pneumonia. Huh? Praise the Lord. You see, Susan, yours disappeared. No, I'm joking. And James Kirby, yeah. And then, let's see, Russell, there you go. Love you, sir. You're amazing. James, thank you, sir. Lisette, God bless you. And then Tom's brother, first time here. Is it John? You get one. Give him a hand. Okay. Okay, we have a guest speaker tonight, and that is Pastor Ronaldo Brown from Africa. And wow. That verse. So where it says man of God, that's a great word. When Paul wrote to Timothy, man of God, it's like amazing to think you and I are men and women of God. Camden went home to be with the Lord yesterday afternoon. He was one of the bikers Pastor Butch's buddy, Kevin Kennedy, and all these guys. He was a brother with throat cancer, recessioned and went to his bones. And then he was here last Wednesday night. He came right up here, and we had a prayer with him, and the Lord chose to take him. And he's gone to be in that place. Look at Revelation. Read this with me. Turn it with me to Revelation 19, just for a few words of introduction. Verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Now, we got the place set up. I think the hiding place is maybe up there. That's the hiding place where they hid the Jews when the Germans came and knocked on the door of Corrie ten Boom's family, which was a Bible-believing family. And you cannot be anti-Semitic. You cannot be anti-Semitic as a spirit-filled God. Hallelujah. We pray for Israel. Bless Israel, Lord. We are for those people. We are behind them. And sometimes, like in this family, they took and hid them upstairs. So that play is Saturday night. Andy here tonight? Andy, there he is. Stand up. He's the director. He's the guy. He's done a good job. How about anybody in the play? Stand up. If you're an actor or actress in the play, stand up. There you go. Wow, we give you, there we go. That'll be amazing. Free of charge. That'll be Saturday night, and you'll be here Sunday morning in church, even if you go Saturday night to the church, okay? And we said the reason why the Patriots won is because when the Greater Grace people went to church, they were losing in the first half, and then the Greater Grace people came home to the game, and the cavalry came over the hill, and they won the game. Yeah, I say Greater Grace people. Okay, so, all right, now look at chapter 19, verse 1. It's very short. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. How many people are in heaven? Of much people. How many people have existed on planet Earth? You can Google it. I asked somebody, I think they estimate about 47 billion people have lived on planet Earth. How many of them have been redeemed? Answer, much. Much people. What kind of voice? Great voice. Voice of many waters. Powerful voice. Many people. All in that amazing spirit of love and oneness and unity in heaven. Here in this world, we know about it. We are in the majority in a sense. We don't have to be. David's mighty men could fight by themselves. And there'll be a time when you may have to stand by yourself with your conviction and what it is that you believe, and where you are at in your heart. But then that'll be over when you go to heaven, because everybody there will not all be the same, will be changed, will be also very different. Great diversity in heaven, I really believe. Nobody will be like you, because it says you'll be given a name, and no one will know the name, only you and God. That's how unique we will be. How special each one of us will be there. Excuse me, at the same time, much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory. Now these words are loaded. They are hallelujah, but in it is the most amazing realization and exaltation of God. Seeing God so clearly, seeing all the shadows are gone, all the pain and the tears and the suffering, and a realization like never before, very profoundly, who Christ is, who God is, and what he did for us. It'll be an amazing moment, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Wow. Right now, this is what I wanted to share tonight. I think I'll Sunday night, no, well, Sunday maybe. I have it in my heart to talk to you heart to heart about how people can speak against you. I have it in my heart, Psalm 64. If you want to read that in the next few weeks, we'll be going into that psalm. Poison. How in my heart, how broken, how hard it is when the tongue is so sharp and whetted, like sharpened, with the words are devised and planned. And what it is when people, like a razor, there's three words, a razor, like one hair, a razor very close to your skin, a razor very close, then the next one is a sword, and that's further away from you, and then the third word is an arrow. And how the devil uses those three elements to attack the righteous man. The righteous man. He comes very close, and with a razor can take very small, minute thing very close to you. Then he can stand back a step and with a sword, and then he can be in China and shoot it across all the way to America. And that's how it works. I mean, that's in that Psalm 64. That being said, I could identify at work what your boss might say, at home what your wife might say, in your family what your child might say. And it's amazingly, we suffer a lot from words. But the good news is we gain a lot from words, these words that go really in our hearts, these words that are able to build us up. So that's an introduction. Okay, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Bless Pastor Ronaldo tonight. Bless Pastor Shabelli with healing and everyone here that stood up and what we believe. And then some that are hurt by words. Some devastated by words. In the world system, we see the power of words. And we must be hidden in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And teach us. For there will be a day coming when the voice of many waters, much people in heaven, will all say, in harmony, without any doubt, hallelujah, and glory and power and honor to the Lord our God. Amen. Yeah. Pastor, love you. Thank you.
Good evening. Let's all stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Starting with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Father, we ask you that you speak to us again, as you've been speaking to us all day today and even in the service tonight. God, continue to speak to us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the corporate covering we have with you. Bless those who are hurting tonight. Be comfort to them in a personal way. Speak through your Spirit. Illuminate your word, we pray. In your son's name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if we've done this yet. Can we welcome back Pastor Shabelli? We can do better than that. Greetings from Zimbabwe. We had a very challenging December. We buried a lot of people in December. I think I did 5 funerals in 3 countries. The phone calls I got from Pastor Belly were this verse. So I'm going to speak on this verse tonight. When you look at this verse, and many of us have read this verse, we've probably heard messages on this verse about the God of all, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. In verse 4, he has his triune name, the three names. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of mercy. And then he's the God of all comfort. And when I think about that verse, there's two words that don't belong together. Sometimes who we are practically interferes with our understanding of the Bible, which is why we need the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, we need the illumination of the Spirit, because practically it doesn't make sense. Like, think of this word for a minute. Father. Everything Father means to you. Maybe the fathers that you know, your father, what you believe a father should be. Think of that word Father for a minute. Now think of the word comfort. What does comfort mean to you? Let me ask you this question tonight. When you think of Father, do you think of comfort? Do you make that connection? Every time you think of the word Father, you think of comfort. I would challenge you tonight and say you don't. You think of a father, you think of protection, responsibility, authority, direction, maybe in some cases money. But the word comfort doesn't come to mind. That's grandma. First. And maybe your mother, unless you upset her. But father and comfort, they don't go together. So when the Bible says he's the God of all comfort, when you practically think about that, does that make sense to you? God the Father being this God of comfort. And maybe you haven't been to Bible school, and maybe you haven't exegeted 2 Corinthians 1:3, and maybe you aren't that deep in Scripture. So when you read God of all comfort, God the Father, you think about Father the way you know a father. And who goes to their father for comfort? No one does. No one does. The only human being on the earth who went to his father for comfort was Jesus. He was the only one. So naturally and culturally, there's this rub about father and comfort that's foreign to us. But we know in Galatians 2:20, we live and we talk and we think in faith as Christians. So we accept this verse by faith. So yeah, okay, it makes sense. I put my faith in the verse, but really, do I apply it? Do I actually find myself in moments when I need comfort? Do I find myself running to the Father? Maybe not. And maybe that's because we have a surface understanding of who God the Father is. We tend to think of the Trinity individually. We think of God the Spirit. We see someone who tends to be beside us, encouraging us and helping us and guiding us. We think of God the Son as someone who's within us, who's conforming us in Romans 8:29 and changing us and revealing his life through us. And then God the Father, we have this idea of over, which is why if you notice most of the time when you pray, you speak to God the Father. You don't just get the habit from the Lord's Prayer, but you're used to saying Father. Father, 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 Father. You have this over thought. God the Father is like this idea of someone that's over you. Now, most of us don't like a covering, but all of us need a covering. And when we hear God the Father is over us, it rubs us the wrong way. We say God is in control, but we don't really want God in control. We want God in control of the things we can't control. But we don't really want God in control. So the idea of God in control doesn't really make sense to us. Because I want to be in control of my life. As Pastor Mark pointed out, I don't want to surrender. I want to be in control. And I should be in control. So I see God the Father as this over person. When I look at people in my life who are over me, I question their motives. Why are they over me? Why are they in control? And that's the word that comes up. Every time you think of someone over you, you think of control. That's why we don't like people over us. We think of control. We don't like God over us because we think of control. Since the Garden of Eden, we've been running from control. We see someone over us, I don't want to be controlled. We think free will means independent will. Free, I can do whatever. No control. Because when I see someone over me, that person is able to limit me, hinder me. We don't see it as a help, but a hindrance. So you read a verse like, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God, the Father, who's over me. It's over me? When I hear that God the Father is over me, I hear of God the Father controlling me. And when you think of someone who's controlling you, what do you do with someone who's controlling you? You don't run to them, you run from them. You run from someone that's trying to control you. And we read verses in the Bible, we see a God who's in control. Romans 8, 28, Jeremiah 29, 11. You see a God who's in control, complete control. And if this God who's in control is over me, I'm not running to him, I'm running from him. That's why when you go evangelizing, you talk to people, they always have two insecurities. God expects me to change, or God's going to do something to me to change me. He's going to control me. The first question people ask you in evangelism is, what am I going to have to stop doing? What am I going to have to start doing? I'm going to be controlled. So God the Father is this person of fear, authority, control. And who would go to that person? So we don't. So when we need comfort, and the Bible says there's a God of all comfort, we don't go to him. We look for other sources of comfort, other people of comfort, other things of comfort, other attractions of comfort, other addictions of comfort. We even have names for it, like Southern Comfort. Oh, it gets worse. We have comfort food. Here's a good one. Retail therapy. Shopping therapy. We even have these nebulous relationships with people. We call them cuddle buddies. I just want comfort. I will not go to God. I will find another source for comfort because the reality is I do need comfort. I do need it. I crave it. There's so much suffering in my life. I need comfort. I need comfort. And for many of us, when we don't think with God, the last place we run to for comfort is God the Father. In fact, most Christians don't know much about God the Father. You ask them to write on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper what you know about God the Father, they might not have much to say. So you're asking me to go to the member of the Trinity I know the least about, whose motives I question the most, and get comfort. I might not get comfort. Yet the scriptures do not lie. He's still God the Father of all comfort. We know the whole Trinity comforts. The Son comforts, the Father comforts, the Spirit comforts, they all comfort. But the Father is the only one who has the overarching title. He's the God of all comfort. Like in 1 Peter 5:10, he's the God of all grace. The overarching title. And in fact, in scriptures, this is the first time the Father has been associated with comfort. You have to read all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, before the Father is first addressed with the same word as Father and comfort. It's almost like the Father was behind the scenes comforting, but he didn't make himself known in that way until here. Maybe the reason why we struggle with coming to God for comfort is not because we misunderstand the Father, though we do. Maybe we misunderstand what comfort is. Maybe we miss the mark with comfort. So we find comfort in so many things. We go on the internet for comfort. We go watch movies for comfort. We go to friends for comfort. I'm not saying those things. Some of those things are not bad. But do they last? Do they satisfy? Are they a band-aid for the wound? Or do they fall short? This word comfort, Paul is focusing on this. He mentions it in the first 8 verses 10 times. It's important. He wants this church that's in a crisis to have comfort. He doesn't want them to have escape. He wants them to have comfort in the crisis. And he focuses on this word comfort. And this word comfort is an interesting word. It doesn't speak just of, I mean, you and I think of comfort as soothing, relaxing, to make better. We have this idea of like the arms of God wrapped around us and just rocking us slowly to sleep. You hear instrumental Hillsong in the background, and you're just, oh yes, God is just comforting me, and my room is smoky, and there's incense in the bathroom, and yeah, okay, there it is. There's your Christian movie right there. God is comforting me. And that's part of it. And God, Deuteronomy 33:27, underneath are the everlasting arms, and God is there to comfort us. That's part of it. But the word in this context, it speaks of action. There's a bit of action to it. It's not a passive word. It's not God standing beside me in my crisis and petting me like an animal. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. That's not the God who operates here, because God is always a God of action, and this is an action word. In fact, the English borrows from the Latin, and the word there speaks of connective strength. It means to brave together. It's this idea of God coming in not just to pet me, but he brings strength in. Only the comfort of God brings strength in. He doesn't just come and hug me and tell me it's going to be okay. He infuses strength into me in my weakness, in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. In my weakness, he infuses strength with the comfort. So he's not only soothing me, he's strengthening me. God's comfort is the only comfort that comes with strength. His comfort has teeth in it. It's powerful comfort. It's not just the, it's going to be okay. Let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya. It's going to work. God's going to do it. You're going to make it. Yes. And all the little cliches. Yes. Come on. Try harder. Don't quit. It's great. No, God says, I don't want you to feel better. I want you to go forward. I want a comfort that takes me forward beyond what I'm going through, that takes me through the valley of shadow of death in Psalm 23. That doesn't just come to the valley and sit beside me and hug me and we just, you know, sing all the refrains of all the old gospel spirituals while we sit in the valley, but meet me in the valley, comfort me in the valley, and take me through. Put strength in me. And that's exactly what the comfort of God is. God says, come to me because I'm the only one that gives you comfort that gets you through. I'm the only one with that kind of comfort. You can go try the other comfort. You can try Southern comfort food, comfort, comforter blankets. You can get the duvet and, you know, or you can unfriend everybody on Facebook, turn off your WhatsApp and put a blanket over your head, light a candle and just hum and chant and do that for 3 days and just disappear, call in sick to work. It doesn't work. It doesn't. You're not comforted. You're bored after a while, aren't you? Just bored. They're tired of you. But God says, if you come to me and leave you, then you not only get the soothing, but you get the strength. It's this dual action. I get the soothing and I get the strength. I get the pillow and I also get the power. It's amazing what the comfort of God can do for someone. That's why the only one who can really comfort you in whatever you're going through is God. Because his comfort is a complete comfort. One writer said it this way. It's like a baby's two cries. How many parents in here? Raise your hand. You ever notice with your children, if they fall down, something happens and you're not there, they cry. Then when you show up on the scene, they cry again. It's like they had already gotten over it. And they're just sitting there waiting, and the person with them's like, you'll be okay, you'll be okay. As soon as you turn the corner, oh! Now, did the pain come twice? No. The first cry was for pain. The second cry was for affirmation. If I see my parent, they're going to tell me it's going to be okay. They're going to put the strength in. They're going to give me the assurance that I can make it. That's what God does with us. He comes in, and yes, he's the one that says, he kind of binds our wounds a little bit, puts in the salve, puts in the medicine, heals us. But while he's healing us, he's helping us. And by the way, many of us want the comfort of God, and we really need help. We want comfort, we need help. So when God comes in, he always comes in first with the help before he comforts. Like imagine a parent, a child is falling down on the ground. The first thing you do is get the child out of danger. Once they're out of danger, the help, then you can comfort them. And that's what God did for us. He came on the earth, he lived among us, and took us out of danger. The word sozo, salvation, the first step of sozo was to take out of danger, then put into a safe place. That's what God did for us. That's why God says, come to me, come to me, come to me. I will comfort you with a comfort no one else can give you. No spouse can give you. No friend can give you. No Facebook can give you. No movie can give you. No drug can give you. I will give you a comfort that will actually give you strength. It will give you strength. That's what I will give you. Philippians 2:13 kind of brings that out. It is God both to will and to do. The doing is from the strength, and the willing is from the soothing. He comes in and does it both. He comes in and he comforts and he soothes. He strengthens. But when you're hurt, it's funny, when you're really going through a crisis or you're really suffering, you want the soothing first. You don't want the strength. You want the soothing. So you say, oh, God, please soothe me. Help me. You want that. Okay, and God says, I see where you are, and I'll give you that. But while you're not paying attention, I'm going to also give you this. I'm going to give you what you're asking for, and I'm going to bless you with what you need, but you didn't ask for. Because why? Philippians 4:19, my Father knows what I need, not just what I want. He gives me more than what I need. Exceeding and abundant in Ephesians 3:20. Even when I'm hurt and I'm suffering, and so many people are suffering, and they're looking for so many solutions away from God. And God says, come to me. I'm not just the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not just the Father of mercy. I am the God of all comfort. All, any and every form of necessary comfort, it is me. Come to me. Come to me. With my comfort, I bring in the strength. With my comfort, I bring in the soothing. And we brave together in God. We brave together in God. We have the connective strength of God. He comforts our physical weakness in Lamentations 3:23. He comforts our sorrow in John 17:11 and 12. Even in our darkness in Micah chapter 7, he can comfort me. He can comfort you. He comforts us. God says, get to know me. Get to know Abba Father. Get to know the one who gives all comfort. The God of all comfort. Get to know me. And in closing, the heart of God is always for me. He sees where I am. He knows what has happened and what's going to happen before it happens. He has a preemptive comforting waiting for me. He has the exact measure of soothing, the exact measure of strength that I need. He's the God of all comfort. Draw close to me and receive it. It is our inheritance in Christ. For only in Christ can we actually embrace the comfort of God. I don't need another option. I don't need another solution. Whatever I'm going through, if I look for God, I don't have to find escape in my problem. I just have to identify God and run to him. I always think about it in 1 Samuel 17 when David ran at Goliath. I think he saw God when he ran at Goliath. I think he, in his mind's eye, he saw God. He felt he was a man of God called. That's why he only took what he trusted in God, the sling. And he ran at Goliath. I don't have to run from my problems. I don't have to even run from suffering. It hurts. There's pain. There's questions. You might even say God is not fair. True. Maybe from my perspective, he might not look like he's fair, but he does care. There's a difference. Never assume because you think God is not fair that he doesn't care. He cares. And he comforts with the soothing and the strength to take us forward in life and trust him again and again. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you are the Father of all mercy. You're the God of all comfort. Whatever is wrong with me, whatever is wrong with us tonight, you have a measure of comfort for us. Even if I can't explain it, there's a spirit in Romans 8 that speaks for me. There's a spirit that speaks for my pain. When I can't even utter the words to you, I'm so hurt, I'm so grieved. Maybe life seems so unfair. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm suffering and it's my fault. You still have comfort even when I'm to blame. Who does that? Who is a God like you? Father, comfort us tonight. Comfort us with these words. Comfort us, God. Minister to us the deep, dark places of our heart that no one knows, the pains that we haven't dealt with, the wounds, the memories, the history, the vendettas, the grudges. Heal us, God, tonight. We thank you that you don't just heal, but you strengthen. You soothe us. Tell us it's going to be okay, and you empower us to give us an ability so that it is okay. Is anyone here tonight? Maybe it's your first time, maybe you've come a few times, maybe you've been coming for a while, and you know in your heart, you've never known what it's like to embrace Christ, to know the person of Christ. He's God and you don't know him. He's the unknown God to you. Tonight you can know him. In a very personal way. Simply speak to him in your heart. Just speak to him directly. You don't need an intermediary. Christ is your intermediary. Speak to God tonight. Invite him into your life. Ask Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior tonight. Begin your journey with God intimately tonight. If that's your prayer tonight for the first time in your life, you don't have to keep making the choice. But when you do, heaven rejoices. Angels look in and celebrate. That's your prayer tonight. No one's looking to embarrass you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but we want to stand with you before God and help you in any way we can. We're here to help you. That's your prayer tonight for the first time. Put your hand way up high and right back down. I want Jesus in my life tonight. The way things have been, I want to change. I want Christ. Is there one tonight? I want Christ. I need Christ. I want his way for my life. I want the comforter in my life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Is there one? For all of us tonight, Father, we thank you. You have a comfort for us for everything that's wrong. We can't always say the right words. We can't always explain it. Theologically, we just know it hurts. And you're the one that makes it better eternally. Father, touch tonight, we pray. Reach out and touch tonight. Change lives tonight. Heal, help, save. In your son's name, amen.